Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Elijah is worn out. He has been zealous in his service to God as a prophet, even at risk to his own life. Now he is alone in the wilderness and ready to give up. Have you ever felt done in, burnt out, like you've given everything you have and there simply isn't enough to keep going? Lots of people are feeling that way today. Lots of people in caregiving professions are feeling this way, and they're leaving their work in record numbers. Nurses and healthcare workers, teachers and childcare workers, workers in the hospitality industry. What's more, the news reports that across the board, Americans are leaving their jobs, looking for something new, something better than before. Now, I know that many of you are retired from your paid work, but that doesn't make you immune from this weariness. Anyone volunteering with church or nonprofit organizations trying to make the world a better place has come face to face with these challenges. The pandemic, the bitter divisions in our society, our increasing awareness of systemic racism, both past and present, it is all taking its toll on us. Our Bible story today offers a timely reminder that we are not the first people to experience this deep weariness of spirit, even in our efforts to live as God's people. Our story is about the prophet Elijah. Now, you may remember the story of Elijah who comes to a widow at Zarephath and extends her last portion of grain and oil indefinitely as she shares it with him. When her son becomes deathly ill, Elijah heals him. Or the story of Elijah challenging the priests of Baal, who pray all day for their deity to set their altar on fire, but to no avail. Then Elijah douses his altar with water, calls on God, and the altar bursts into flame. That is actually the event that has precipitated Elijah's current predicament. The queen Jezebel is angry that Elijah defeated and killed her prophets and has vowed to take his life. And so he flees into the desert and he is ready to just give up. This is not the first time this has happened to Elijah, the first time that we've found him just laying despondent in the desert. The last time, God sent ravens to bring him food. This time, God comes in the form of an angel. God feeds him and gently cares for him. And then God tells him to come to a cave where God will meet Elijah. God sends a wind and an earthquake and a fire, and perhaps they are reminders of God's power in the face of Elijah's fear of Jezebel. Then there is a moment of sheer calm, a silence that is somehow filled with the presence of God. And Elijah comes out of the cave, and even though he's still a little bit sulky, he is ready to go again and do what God asks of him. God has given him food and rest, but even more, God's presence has given him strength for the journey. How does God come to us? Sometimes God comes in silence, in prayer, in contemplation, but not always. Sometimes God comes in music, in scripture, or in poetry, in community, and the communion of saints. When God sends Elijah out, he sends him back into community with other people. Elijah will anoint a king who will follow God. He will find a new prophet, Elisha, who will be his student and companion and eventually take his place. God gives Elijah strength, but also reminds Elijah that he isn't really alone. There are others who share his belief and who will walk with him and serve with him. Today is All Saints' Day. It's the day we specifically focus on the way that God comes to us through the saints of the past and the present. It's the day that we talk about the communion of saints, the believers who have paved the way for us and shared their faith, and the believers who walk with us and serve alongside of us. Years ago, I came across a saying by Thomas Merton. A saint is not someone who is good. A saint is someone who knows the goodness of God. I love that definition. That is Elijah doing amazing things in God's name, but ultimately living not by his own power, but by God's grace and presence. Whoops, I missed one. That's Elijah. It is Martin Luther discovering the truth of the gospel of grace and saying, "Here I stand, I can do no other." It is St. Julian of Norwich, who lived in England during years of plague and war, receiving visions of God's love which enable her to say, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well." It is so many of our saints, past and present in our lives and community, who live in constant awareness of God's blessing in their lives and share that conviction with others. We are moved by the good people in our lives, by those who give their time and energy and resources to help others and are models for our faith life. But we are also nurtured by those people who share their stories of God's goodness, how God has met them and given them strength. One commentary I read this week compared Elijah's experience as a prophet with that of Martin Luther King, Jr. In a sermon in the book Strength to Love, King tells about an ordeal from a late-night telephone call during the Montgomery bus boycott. The voice on the other end threatened and insulted him, causing him insomnia. He felt the temptation to step away from his leadership role, but he feared appearing cowardly. Moving from the bedroom to the kitchen, he drank coffee and prayed. The response to his prayer came in the form of a feeling of the divine presence. A reassuring inner voice promised God's support. Even after the bombing of his home, shortly after this experience, he continued to feel a sense of peace. This is the sort of story that helps me find strength for the journey, even in the middle of my own struggles. Which brings me to another lesson we find in this story of Elijah. Being faithful and knowing the goodness of God doesn't mean that we're always happy or cheerful. Being followers of Christ doesn't mean that we won't experience grief or depression, anger or fear. I have struggled with depression off and on throughout my adult life. Years ago, I visited a counselor who listened to me tell my story, and the first thing she said to me was, "If you are a Christian and a pastor, how can you be depressed?" Only years of formation in good Lutheran nice kept me from getting up and walking out the door. And sometimes I kind of wish I had just done it. I certainly never went back. Such an idea that Christians don't experience the same challenges and struggles, the same grief and mental illness and emotional exhaustion as anyone else is dangerous. We do. And it doesn't mean we aren't faithful or good enough Christians. In the midst of grief or depression, it gets hard to hear God. But we do hear the many voices saying, "Get over it, move on. Your depression is your own fault. Don't listen to those voices. When Elijah is discouraged and thinks he is alone and done in, God doesn't show up and say, "Cut it out, you weakling." God sends messengers, ravens, and an angel, and a helper named Elisha. God gives Elijah time to rest. God comes to Elijah in a still, gentle voice. And then God sends Elisha to continue his work alongside other believers, knowing Elijah's healing and peace will return as he connects with other people. That is what the communion of saints, this imperfect, beautiful community of God's people, is all about. We gather here to share our stories of faith and faithfulness, of brokenness and struggle, and above all, of God's goodness and mercy to us. We gather to support one another, to care for one another, and sometimes to carry one another's faith at times when the journey gets too hard. We gather to listen together for the presence of God in song and in prayer, in scripture and in sacrament, and sometimes even in the still small voice that comes between all our words and noisiness. May we hear that voice and gain strength for our journey. Thanks be to God. Amen.